Coming up on Central Time, it's Food Friday, and WPR host Lori Skelton will be with us to lay some Italian cooking on us after her recent trip to Italy.
First, though, a new study is out from the University of Wisconsin-Eau Claire about the prevalence of Lyme's disease-carrying ticks in Wisconsin.
According to the new study, 35% of adult female ticks in Wisconsin had the bacterium, and some counties had an even higher prevalence, with about two-thirds of adult female ticks infected. Here with us to discuss these findings is Lloyd Turtenan. He's a professor of microbiology at UW-Eau Claire and leader of the study. Lloyd, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
So a little over a third of female ticks carrying the Lyme bacterium in this study. Is that more than we might have expected?
It's pretty typical to findings from earlier years. Down at University of Wisconsin-Madison, I know Susan Plaskovitz has found similar numbers. To me, being sort of new to this area, I was a little surprised that so many did carry the bacterium.
And then some counties had about twice as much prevalence of the Lyme bacterium. Where did we see the worst instances of finding Lyme in these ticks?
Well, in our study, the county that had the highest prevalence rate was Chippewa. But I have to caution you that we didn't look at as many ticks there as we did in some of the other counties. Most of the ticks came from Down County or Eau Claire County. But Chippewa did have the highest prevalence rate at 66%.
Now, Wisconsin has been looked at as one of the hot spots for Lyme disease around the country. It always seems when I look at a map, there's New England and then us. How do the numbers you're looking at there, are we still a standout in this unfortunate category?
I think the prevalence rates are probably quite similar to the New England areas. In part, it's due to the vegetation. You know, wherever you have new growth or fragmented forest, you're going to have deer, you're going to have small rodents like mice, and that tends to attract more of the infected ticks.
Now, I'm interested in a little bit of the hands-on of this study. How does one go about intentionally collecting ticks and then testing them?
Well, the way that it's usually done is you take a material like flannel, light-colored, and you attach it to some sort of stick or rod, and then you just start sweeping the tall grass and the bushes, and ticks will attach to it, and then you can periodically look to see if you picked up any ticks. Or you can just walk through the brush with your pants and look to see if ticks have come off. But if you're going after the small ones, the nymphs, the tiny ones, it's really quite tedious, and you have to look very carefully to see if any have attached to the material.
And you looked at female ticks. Are they the ones that carry the Lyme bacterium?
The female ticks are the ones that primarily transmit it. Now, the male ticks can also have the bacterium, but they tend not to transmit it. Because remembering that the females need to take that blood meal to develop her eggs. So we only looked at the female ticks because those were the largest, easier to find. We did not look for the small ones like the nymphs.
And over what period did you hunt for these ticks? How long a span are we talking about?
This was done every spring, usually end of April to the middle of May, around there when I had my students in my class go out and collect ticks.
Don't you get worried about getting Lyme disease as you're out going and intentionally out for looking for ticks?
Well, I guess we all should worry about it, and I still worry about it, sure. And I have picked ticks off me. Every year I pick ticks off of me, including this past year.
So it's fall. Excuse me. Hunting season is coming up in Wisconsin. In my head, my wishful thinking is that as we get the first frost, we don't have to worry about ticks anymore. Am I fooling myself there?
Well, I'm not really sure how to answer that. Ticks will stop feeding in the fall, probably due to a combination of decreasing day length, and temperature. So I don't know if it's the temperature or more the day length that stops them from feeding. So at some point, they will stop feeding.
Now, are ticks spreading this bacterium from one tick to another, or are they all going to the same sources that they pick up the Lyme bacterium from?
You know, that's a really good question. I think what you're referring to is transalveolar transmission, in that can a tick that's infected transmit it to her eggs? The studies that I have read, and I'm not an expert in this area, seem to indicate that may be a minor way of spreading the bacterium. So rather, it's probably the tick feeding on the rodents, the mice, and the deer that are picking this up and passing it around.
Now, you mentioned you've picked many ticks off of yourself, and I hope you're doing it the right way. Is there a right and a wrong way to take these ticks off once they've fixed themselves onto us?
The main thing is you want to get all of the tick out, especially the mouth parts. If you leave the mouth parts in, it's possible that it still could be transmitting the bacterium. In my experience, when I've had an adult female, I haven't found it soon enough, and it has burrowed in so deeply that I've actually had to go to the emergency room to get it taken out piece by piece. With the nymphs, you want to get a really tiny forceps, very sharp, tiny forceps, and pull it out all at once. Obviously, I think other people have different ways of doing it. Again, I'm not a physician. I'm not sure what the best way to do it is.
And how do you do the tick check? Again, a lot of people are going to be out in the woods starting maybe this weekend. How do you look over to make sure you aren't carrying a tick with you?
When my kids were young, we sort of did it as a family thing. You know, we looked at each other's back and back of the legs where there often will be hiding. We would look in the hair and things like that. So it helps to have another person helping you do this.
A buddy system.
Yes, it's difficult to do it yourself.
Well, taking the numbers you found, the prevalence, does this change the way we think about Lyme disease in Wisconsin, or does this just kind of confirm some of what we already suspected?
Well, I think it may reawaken some people as to the danger of this. Obviously, there are some people who are pretty bad off after having been infected with Lyme. And I think we really need to, you know, rethink about how we deal with this and just, you know, to understand the prevalence, I think, is very important, just to make people aware that this is a potentially really big problem.
And what's your next step in the research? Are you going to keep doing this spring check-in? And what other kind of research might you want to do?
Well, as you know, research takes money. We do plan on doing another spring. You know, I'll have the class go out and collect as many ticks as they can. And then, if the money is available, we will go ahead and take a look at those. I think one of the things I would like to do is to get involved with other scientists who can... We can sort of correlate some of the deer density data, some of the vegetation data, and also some of the mice density data to identify perhaps areas where Lyme disease might be more prevalent because of all those factors coming together.
All right, Lloyd, thanks so much for sharing your research with us today.
You're welcome.
That was Lloyd Turtenen. He's professor of microbiology at UW-Eau Claire, lead researcher on a new study of Lyme bacteria prevalence in ticks throughout Wisconsin. Coming up, a look at Italian cooking with one of our resident foodies and regular Food Friday contributors. I'm Rob Ferret.
I'm Veronica Rickert, and you're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.
Monday morning from 6 to 9, it's the Joy Cardine Show. After 7, check in for the State Capitol Report. Joy and her guests will bring you up to date on the top issues coming from our state legislature.
This is Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert here with Rob Ferret, and we have a gorgeous, yummy-looking studio. I've never seen it like this. There's pasta bubbling in the corner. There's gelato on the console. This is really looking beautiful. Bellissima, you might say.
Don't tell the engineers that there's gelato on the console. They'll come rushing in here.
It's safely behind the console. I don't think we're going to get any gelato or ice cream into the workings of Wisconsin Public Radio. Wouldn't that be horrible, though? Here we are in the middle of a pledge drive. And we're saying, help us get new equipment, because Lori has just spilled dairy products into the console right now, and we need to replace something really, really quickly. That would be horrid. What isn't horrid is all of the amazing things that can happen on a show like Central Time, whether it is going from Lyme disease to Italian cooking in less than half an hour. I mean, that's just amazing. You make that happen with a pledge of support at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And when you pledge this hour any amount, you get a collection of Central Time Food Friday recipes. We've got seven recipes, including one from Lori that is single girl pasta, and we're going to talk about that in a little bit. But when you make your pledge right now, any amount, we will send you, if you ask for it, this collection of seven recipes. There's pasta, there's desserts, there's seasonal fall stuff from a lot of our guests and our staff here. You get it with a pledge of any amount at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Just a little bit, we'll be digging in on this Food Friday with Lori Skelton, who you know is a classical music host. You may also be getting to know her as a passionate foodie. We talk to her just about every month here on Central Time. And if you want those recipes, make that pledge. Decide to support Wisconsin Public Radio because you listen, because you like to get ready for the weekend thinking about gelato and pasta, and also being up to date on the news with what's happening in the world and in Wisconsin. And we are looking for 37 pledges for this hour. You can help us get going with your pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
All right, Lori, we're going to get to the food you brought in just a minute, but we'll tease ourselves with that for a bit. You just got back from Italy.
28 Wisconsin Public Radio listeners and I took a trip to Italy in September. Yes.
And I want you to share a couple of your favorite food memories from that trip to Italy. And I know it's hard to narrow it down.
Well, one thing that I couldn't bring into the studio because they wouldn't allow me to bring it into America without serious penalties. We were there at the start of black truffle season.
Oh.
So a lot of the pasta dishes we had when we were touring, it didn't matter if we were in the north around Bologna or even as we got into Rome, there were the option of black truffles on your antipasto, on your pasta, on your pizza. There were black truffles everywhere, and so fragrant. Even before the dish was set in front of you, you could tell who had ordered black truffles on their pods. Just this wonderful, rich, earthy smell. And then you take a bite, and you know it's a good pasta dish to begin with. And then that wonderful, rich black truffle. It's the ultimate in mushroom. So that was one thing that really stood out, being there in September, is being there for a part of black truffle season. One thing that stood out for the whole group is what we've got in front of us right now, however, and that is gelato. Okay, we were from America's Dairyland, and we take our ice cream and our custard pretty seriously, but it did not take long before the entire group fell under the spell of Italian gelato.
They converted you.
My first day there, I'm in the Rome airport. It's 10:30 in the morning. There's this gorgeous Italian guy walking down the concourse, Armani suit, fancy briefcase, cone of gelato in his hands. It's okay, so it's not a myth. The Italians are crazy for gelato. They're eating it all the time. And what we discovered is that there is a difference between gelato and ice cream. It basically boils down to fat, air, and temperature. Ice cream is made with milk and cream, and very often eggs, or at least an extra egg yolk. Gelato is mostly milk, very little, if any, cream. Almost no eggs are used.
You're telling us it's a health food.
I'm not saying it's a health food.
It's healthier than the Wisconsin version.
It's definitely coming across as a little bit different. You're going to have a little less sugar. You're dealing with, in many cases, a lot fresher ingredients because gelato is made in smaller batches. So you don't need as much sugar in it to boost the flavor. So what makes American ice cream lovely is those wonderful fat, mouth-coating, tongue-coating fat on your tongue. That's where a lot of that flavor is carried. Gelato doesn't have that, so it relies on fresher flavors. Gelato has less air whipped into it than American ice cream. And gelato is not frozen as at a lower temperature, and it's also served a little warmer. So our basic attitude was that the gelato tends to taste lighter and fresher on the tongue, which is probably why it's easy to have gelato two and three times a day in Italy, because it doesn't feel like you've just ingested a fat bomb. So I have in front of you two bowls, one with chocolate shop old-fashioned vanilla ice cream. I got the best vanilla ice cream I could get. And the other is vanilla gelato, which comes from, again, a small producer here in Madison, Java Cat.
And you're not going to tell us which is which, are you?
I'm not going to tell you.
I've already figured it out.
Oh, okay. Wait. I haven't tried it yet. Okay.
All right.
Don't give it away. Talk amongst yourselves.
So,
nom, nom, nom.
Okay. So there's you've.
That was yummy. That was yummy too.
Okay.
Do you? Our food experts have concluded they're both yummy.
They're both yummy.
I think I know which one's gelato, though.
All right. What are you noticing in your mouth? Is there
different texture?
Different texture
for sure.
What I noticed in this particular gelato is that the vanilla tastes brighter. If you've ever made a sugar cookie with a really good vanilla, that's going to have a more forward flavor rather than some vanillas that are not such high quality can sometimes taste muddy in a cookie. And so I'm noticing a similar thing here. I know the chocolate shop uses great vanilla in their ice cream, but because it's with this heavy, dense fat ice cream, it's going to have a different vanilla note to it. And it's not to say that one is better or worse than the other. It's that you've got two different products here. You can use them for two different things.
All right. You got to tell us which one is which now. I want to know if I'm right.
Okay.
Red Bull's gelato, right?
No.
What? Quit lying, liar.
No, the red...
I was wrong?
Now, I will say this, because I
had... I was wrong, too.
Well, because I had to keep this in the freezer, the gelato and the ice cream are at the same temperature, so that I know is going to be affecting the taste.
Oh, that's what threw me.
Yeah. Well, actually, I think, you know, I think people can be surprised at what temperature can do in when you're serving a food. For instance, if you've got a real cheap white wine that you know, it really doesn't have a great deal of flavor, but you've got to get rid of it. Restaurants do this, I'm sorry to say, a lot. They'll serve it to you a little too cold. Mm. And while a really chilled glass of white wine may be fantastic on a really hot summer day, if you're talking about a white wine that's not terribly complex, that's fine. But if you've got a complex white wine and you serve it too cold, you miss those complex flavors. It's not able to develop. And I think the same thing happens because gelato is served warmer. I think you've got, again, more of a chance to taste those flavors.
We're talking to Lori Skelton on Food Friday. And if you're getting hungry hearing about this food, you're just going to get hungrier. We've got some pasta coming up later. But we've also got some great recipes for you, including one from Lori Skelton. It is single girl pasta. You can get a pack of 7 Central Time recipes with a pledge of any amount at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. We've got that pasta dish. We've got a tart from Ian Knauer. I put in my own kale chips. Recipe is a strong word, but I tell you how I make them, and my kids eat them and love them. And that's
a recipe which I'd like to point out, you refuse to give to me, but
well,
I'm not bitter.
I wrote it down finally for the pledge
gelato.
Drive.
I think I will drown my sorrows.
And 4 other recipes. Make a pledge, support great, tasty public radio, and get those recipes for a pledge of any amount, maybe $5 a month. How about that? Make a pledge right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We talk about so many interesting and delicious things on Central Time. We have these Food Fridays, which everyone comes to look forward to. It's something fun and yummy to look forward to on a Friday. Gets us inspired for fall baking or chili. It's soup weather finally. But we also catch you up on the news of the day because we know that you want to know what's happening in the world around you. You want to understand it. And you also want to have something to talk about at dinner while you're eating that yummy gelato. So don't forget, pledge of any amount at all this hour, and we'll be happy to send you that packet of recipes from our Food Fridays collected there and some from staff members as well. But it all starts with you deciding to support Wisconsin Public Radio, support the station that you're listening to that's become part of your life. You're listening during a pledge drive. That means you're pretty diehard about public radio. And that means, guess what? You should make a pledge. Maybe you can treat yourself to some gelato afterwards as a pat on the back. But you need to start by making that pledge at WPR. WBR.org or 888-202-2552.
Well, while everybody out there is making their pledge now, Lori, I understand that there are, I'm reading vanilla flavor here.
Right.
There's like a zillion flavors, some of them kind of unexpected in Italy, of gelato, right?
One of the things that's delightful about gelato is that you can ask for any size dish that you want and then pack 2, 3, 4, sometimes 5 flavors in. All you're paying for the size of the cup, and then they'll adjust the amount of gelato that they'll give you. So in addition to the fact that there are some interesting flavors like melon or green apple, there are also some really great, sometimes unintended combinations. The one that I couldn't believe ended up being so good that I had it twice was rum raisin and black licorice.
Wow.
Huh.
Yeah, I know.
Wait, all in one gelato?
It was one cup, and half of it was rum raisin and half of it was black licorice.
Wow.
And yes, I know it sounds weird, and it was one of those times that I just, oh, what the heck? I can't decide. I'll have them both. And they ended up tasting great together.
Well, our producer, Galen Druk, just sent us a note. He was in Rome for a chunk of time, and he had Gorgonzola gelato, and he says it was amazing.
Yeah.
Did you have that one, Lori?
I didn't have any Gorgonzola. I did have a taste of ricotta gelato. One thing they are really great at is, I mean, okay, we talk about plain vanilla. Their plain vanilla, their unflavored, if you will, can have sometimes 5 or 6 different nuances, shall we say. Ricotta is a really great one to work with. Again, you've got a basic flavor, but you're going to have a little bit of savory. Gorgonzola, now I've worked with cheese and ice cream before, and it works, but I could see where here the texture of gelato would allow more of the cheese flavor to come through. And if, say, you were drizzling it with a little good balsamic vinegar, which is a great way to serve. Yes, just a little. Good, not the stuff that they sell you and that they say comes from Modena. We're talking about the stuff that you dispense by the eyedropper full. Hmm. It's viscous, it's sweet, it's
syrupy,
figgy. And yes, drizzle it on gelato. It's amazing. Absolutely wonderful.
All right, we're having some delicious Food Friday talk here on Central Time. We've got Lori Skelton with us talking about Italian food. We put the dessert in front of the entree. We're going to turn from gelato because it was going to melt. We're going to turn from gelato to pasta coming up. But let's remind you, it is our pledge drive. It's your last chance to pledge during Central Time in this pledge drive. Go online at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552. While you're there, if you pledge any amount, you can get the Central Time recipe package, 7 different recipes, including one of the pasta ones we're going to talk about.
And this is the last Friday, the last day you can pledge for Central Time during this fall membership drive, so don't put it off any longer. Get something else done, cross it off your to-do list, pat yourself on the back, be on your way, and enjoy your listening to Wisconsin Public Radio. You can start the process by making that pledge, decide your amount, go to your phone or your computer, WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And thank you so much for supporting Wisconsin Public Radio.
You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. We're picking up our conversation in just a bit with Lori Skelton about Italian food. We just had some luscious gelato that Rob and I both failed to identify as such, but it was yummy anyway. We're learning about it as we go.
And you could hear it, you could taste a difference.
Right. Yeah.
The more we tasted it, we did a little more tasting, the more we could understand the difference.
Yeah.
Yes,
okay.
It was very educational. And then we've got some pasta coming up. But first, this is our fall membership drive, and we're here with Lori Skelton, and it's time to make your pledge to Wisconsin Public Radio, the last day to pledge to Central Time. So get that pledge in, enjoy your Friday and your weekend, and feel good about something you did to support the radio station that you count on at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Lori gave us a recipe that we're going to hear about in a few minutes for a pasta dish, single girl pasta.
Yep.
We'll talk about that in a bit. You can get a copy of that and 6 other recipes from Food Friday guests and staff. Make your pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Pledge any amount at all, and you can get that collection of recipes. Single girl pasta, we've got a fruit tart from Ian Knauer, we've got a pickle recipe, wassail, That's what you call it, that apple drink.
Wassail.
I want to say, don't you go a wassailing, though, when you sing that song?
It all depends on where the composer is putting the emphasis in that particular lyric.
Uh-huh.
But I've heard it both ways. Especially after you've had a few glasses, you can sing it a lot of different ways.
All right. So those and a few other recipes. It's our little way of saying thank you for making a pledge of support for the radio station you rely on. Pledge now at WPR.org. Or call 888-202-2552.
We had Chef Ian Knauer on last week, and he was talking about fall baking. And I know that his contribution is a pear ginger tart that's
right.
sort of cooked upside down, and it's got caramely goodiness on the top of it. And it sounds pretty delicious. That's in that packet as well. But the important thing isn't necessarily the thank you gift. It's a nice thing to have, and we're happy to do that. But the important thing is that you decide that Wisconsin Public Radio is important. You acknowledge that, yes, you listen. Even during a pledge drive, you listen. And because you listen and because Wisconsin Public Radio is part of your life, it's the right thing to do to support Wisconsin Public Radio. Now is your chance to do that at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You decide the amount that's right for you, and it really does matter. It makes a difference. Listener support, your pledges make up the biggest single part of Wisconsin Public Radio's budget. It counts for a lot. So how about $5 a month? Not too bad. Do you listen enough to make $5 a month worth it? Or $10 a month? You get to pick. Go online at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Every pledge drive, it's kind of neat. We hear from people all over the country and even all over the world. We're not just talking Wisconsin here. We get pledges from Texas, Alaska, Japan, and Germany. You've got something special here at Wisconsin Public Radio. It's definitely not uncommon for people to say they moved back and they really missed Wisconsin Public Radio, and they were so excited to be back because of the service that WPR offers and the listening. Because Wisconsin Public Radio is special, make that pledge. Help support it at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Lori is rattling around in the background doing the final steps of the cooking. This is the first time I've seen actual cooking happening in this studio.
This may take a little bit longer.
Okay. The smell is amazing. And is this the single girl pasta, Lori? Maybe it's time we talk about that while we're intoxicated by the smell.
Well, even if the pasta doesn't work, we still have the sauce. Years ago, long before I had a steady guy in my life, I discovered there's a particular way I like to eat pasta. I love onions. I love garlic. So I came up with a way of doing a low, slow onion and garlic and a little bit of butter and a little bit of olive oil and dump that over pasta. And I think it's one of the reasons why I don't get colds very often.
Oh.
Now, it could just be because I give off such an aroma of allium that nobody wants to get near me and get their germs on me.
Get their germs, yeah.
But this is something that it's one of my favorite comfort foods, what I call single girl pasta. And you can make this lovely oniony sauce and dump it on just about anything. But pasta does seem to work.
Now, you've got an onion sitting here, and it's an unusual shape for an onion. Is this a special kind of onion we can use in this dish?
I've always just used your basic yellow onion.
They're mild.
Yeah.
They're sweet.
But they're not too terribly special. Last week, I was at the farmer's market, and Jones Valley Farm had these onions, what they call a high-shouldered red onion, but it's actually an Italian varietal. So I figured since we were going to be talking about Italy today, I would try making my single girl pasta with these Rosso di Milano onions.
Nice accent.
Years of singing. You know where that comes from.
A little bit.
And it turned out this made the sauce even sweeter. So I wanted to bring in the onion and show you that you can get as fancy or as plain with this as you like, and it still comes out to be a terrific dish.
It looks like an apple.
Yes, it does.
Papery apple.
Once you cut it open, it has the same color as your standard red onion, but it's not the sharp red onion. This really does seem to do well when you cook it, whereas a lot of red onions, you want that bite in a sandwich or something. You want it raw. You want it to be a little bit forward. And this one melts down just beautifully into a sauce.
And you said something about cooking it long and slow or low and slow.
Right.
So why is that important with this dish?
Well, what you're aiming for is you want to bring out the sweetness of onion and garlic. And so you're basically caramelizing. You are rather than getting a sear to it, you want this to cook down gently so that instead of crust, you get those sugars developing, and you want this to sort of melt. You want the onions to lose their physical integrity and just get sort of all loose and happy and and perfumey, and it can be a rather seductive dish.
Yeah, I am not the biggest fan of raw onions, but I have to say caramelized onions, they're a whole different animal. They're so delicious and almost buttery, even though they're just onions. Something special happens.
Well, you talk amongst yourselves. I'm going to go get that sauce, even if the pasta isn't ready.
You'll be our Italian auntie rattling around in the kitchen.
Yeah. Well, hopefully we've whetted your appetite for this single girl pasta, and you can get that recipe and a handful of other ones with a pledge of any amount at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. We've gotten 10 pledges so far this hour. Thank you so much. If you haven't pledged yet, remember, this is the last day of Pledge Drive here on Central Time. Your last chance to pledge during this new scrappy little afternoon talk show. If you've enjoyed Central Time over the few months we've been on the air, maybe just discovered us, know that your contribution is part of what makes it possible, a big part, the single largest part of our budget. Make a pledge now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And no matter how much you pledge, when you make that pledge, ask for your packet of Central Time Food Friday recipes.
Now, I grew up on public radio. It was always on in the background in the house. It still is always on in the background in the house. And I think it's a great way for parents to introduce their kids to issues of the world and culture and ways to think about what's happening. It's a conversation spot. And if you've got little ones, too, and you want to have those conversations in your home, you want to introduce them to bigger concepts, get them thinking beyond themselves, Wisconsin Public Radio is great at helping you do that. So make a pledge for the next generation of Wisconsin Public Radio listeners and big thinkers at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And you may wonder, how much should I pledge? What's the right amount? Well, you are the only person who can answer that question, and any amount is the right amount because it all adds up to what happens here on the radio. So as a suggestion, you might try pledging $5 a month or $10 a month. Whatever fits your budget, make that pledge. The important thing is that you do it, and do it right now. And just for the next 15 minutes or so, as a thank you gift, you can get those recipes, the Food Friday recipes. Make your pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Well, you love Wisconsin Public Radio because it's your source for intelligent radio. And as you know, there are bills associated with high-quality radio, but that's where you come in. We all do this together. Your support is so important. Making a pledge is quick and easy. It literally takes about 3 minutes of your time. And whatever your amount, whatever you decide is right, is the right amount at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
In just a few moments, we're going to hear more about this great pasta dish and talk a little bit about making your own pasta. I've never had the courage to try it, but maybe Lori can talk me into it. Stick around. Some great food talk still to come. This is Central Time on the Ideas Network.
You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Verrett. We're going to eat some food in just a minute and talk about how it's made. First, a quick reminder, this is our pledge drive. You can make a pledge to support the radio you count on at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And just for the next 12 minutes, ask for a copy of the Food Friday recipe packet. 7 great recipes, a lot of variety there. Pickles, desserts, and entrees. Yours with a pledge of any amount at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Now, we've been smelling this awesome food, and before we pass out with anticipation, we're going to try it. Tell us what we got here, Laura.
All right. We had to skip the pasta because we are having some electrical issues with our burners, but what we have here is the sauce that I put on top of my pasta. All this is onion and garlic olive oil and butter, fresh thyme from my garden. You can put cheese on if you like. I tend to put too much. You can use salt and pepper to taste, but here I've just got the basics of the alliums, the thyme, and a long slow. This was on the stove for almost 40 minutes. Mm. And yeah, just.
Oh, okay. See, I would think cooking onions that long, they'd be all burnt to heck. But this is on a low heat, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. What you're doing is you bring your oil and butter up to temperature, throw in your garlic, and immediately turn the heat down a bit. Mm. Once the garlic has had a chance to cook a bit, again, you don't want it to brown, then you put your onions in, turn the heat down even lower, stir it up a bit, cover the pan, and just let it talk to itself for at least 30 minutes.
It just gets to sit there, right? You don't even have to swish it around. That's what I've discovered.
Not really, no. If the burner is low so that nothing is getting scorched on the bottom, it does kind of take care of itself.
Mm. And, it's really good. Really good.
It's delicious.
And then I just throw fresh. I love thyme with onions. And for something like this that has sat on the top of the stove for so long, you throw the thyme in. You throw your fresh herbs in just at the end, and that will give it that little pop of green against all of this caramelized, again, earthy, wonderful, deep flavor.
Well, talk a little bit about the pasta, okay, because that's what, you know, Italians are known for, the delicious pasta. What did you discover about homemade Italian pasta while you were over there?
Well, there's more than one way to make it, but your basic proportions are a half a cup of flour. And if you want to use all-purpose, unbleached, a lot of Italian cooks will use that. But most of the Italian cooks I talk to, they want something that's milled a little finer, what they call doppio zero, two zeros. It's a very fine grain flour. And you take a half a cup of that and you put it on your board in front of you and you make a little well in it. And into that well, you crack an egg. And then you take a fork and you start beating the egg as though you were making scrambled eggs.
Uh-huh.
And then you just keep incorporating the flour into that. Once you've got a shaggy dough, once it's sort of all put together, then you start kneading it. And for those of you who think, oh, come on, make my own pasta, what is the possible benefit in doing that? I work at a desk job. I'm at my desk at my computer or I'm at a radio console, so I'm sitting a lot. I don't do very much physically during the day. If you've had a stressful day, if you come home and you have to knead pasta dough by hand for 8 to 10 minutes, it is a great stress reliever, I have discovered. It's a lot of fun. And
yeah, something about cooking just helps you feel re-engaged with the active world and your domestic life.
Or you can take it out on the person who was mean to you earlier the day and you couldn't say anything.
That is some tender pasta.
And also, this is a great way to get the kids involved in the kitchen. Kids love kneading stuff. And unlike bread dough, this is a small amount of dough, easy for little hands to get into. Kids can have a great time making pasta.
Well, in just a few moments, we'll talk about the benefits of kneading your dough. And here's a quick reminder that I'm going to do it. Knead your dough.
Oh, Lord.
It's the last day of Pledge Drive here on Central Time.
I don't believe it.
I'm sorry. I actually feel shame. But the truth is that we do need your financial support to keep great conversation and awesome puns on the air. WPR.org is the place to make a pledge, or you can call 888-202-2552. And just for the next 10 minutes or so, when you make a pledge of any amount to support great radio here in Wisconsin, you can ask for a copy of our Central Time Food Friday recipe packet. 7 great recipes, including Lori's Single Girl Pasta, what we've been munching on here just now. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And we are looking for 24 more pledges in about the next 8 minutes. You can do it. We can all get there together if we all pitch in and support Wisconsin Public Radio. Do something you feel good about, something that reaches out a little beyond yourself and gives back, not just to you, but to the whole community. Give to the Wisconsin Public Radio community and become part of it by making your pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. You can pledge in spite of or because of Rob's pun.
Well, go ahead, Lori.
I'm just thinking, as we've got all of these onions low and slow on the burner, and it all just melds together into something warm and enriching and amazing. That's exactly what happens when one person pledges $5 and another person pledges $5 a month and another person pledges $100 a month. It all comes together into this wonderful big melting pot called Wisconsin Public Radio, and it's nourishing and it's warm and it's got a little bit of a kick to it that, I mean, I hadn't planned on it, but I don't think we could have had a more perfect metaphor than what we've got in front of us. So won't you throw yourself into the grand kitchen that is Wisconsin Public Radio? Become one of the cooks that helps get great radio cooking. Make your pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Just think about how many ideas you've been introduced to here on the Ideas Network. Ways of thinking about the world and practical advice on health and exercise and well-being or on how to cook delicious food. Think about all the things that you've made use of, that you've learned on the Ideas Network, and make a pledge on behalf of that at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Thinking about some of the interesting people with big ideas and funny points of view that you've heard of on Wisconsin Public Radio, John Hodgman, the comedian, has been joining us recently. He came through Wisconsin. We talked to him about a lot of things, including why he wears yellow sneakers to ward off getting old. We talked to Diane Ravitch, who's one of the leading education pundits in America, and she's very passionate about education, and lots of people listen very closely to what she has to say. We had on M. Night Shyamalan, who's also someone who's he's a filmmaker. You know him from The Sixth Sense, but you also heard him talking about his passion for education and trying to figure out the magic formula for what makes schools work. That's just a sampling of the diverse voices that you hear on Wisconsin Public Radio, the different points of view, the people who make you laugh, the people who make you think and who challenge you a little. What is that worth to you, that wealth of ideas and opportunity to meet these people? Pledge for that at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
All right, Laura, we talked about how to make your own pasta. Let's get into the why. Apart from the exercise and stress relief, does it taste better? I mean, is it a more enjoyable eating experience when you've just made it yourself as opposed to, you know, do what I do and use the dried stuff?
Well, one of the things we discovered in Italy is that there are so many different kinds of pasta. Not every Italian wants fresh pasta in a dish. Spaghetti is a good example. Spaghetti is, you know, that's a factory-made pasta. It's very thin. It uses a slightly heavier flour, and it's not easy to make at home. And most Italian cooks will say, why bother? There's perfectly wonderful dry spaghetti that I will want to use for a lot of things. When you are, however, having a sauce that you really want to have shine, I think making your own pasta can make a difference. One of the pictures that we actually did get up on the Central Time website today was a picture of how they prefer to serve tortellini in Bologna. They don't prefer their tortellini under a sauce. First of all, they're very, very specific about tortellini. It should be small. We were told that if your tortellini is bigger than the navel of Venus, then you're making it too big. And the way they serve their tortellini is in broth, in brodo, it's called. And so there is an opportunity, a very simple, maybe chicken, a light beef broth. But here you'll want that delicate light pasta to really, really shine. And what better way to do it than if you've just had a fresh ricotta, maybe chop up a little spinach in that, and then wrap up your tortellini in fresh sheets of pasta. What could taste better? What could be more beautiful than navels of Venus on your spoon?
I'm just picturing all these people going up to the statue of Venus with their, it's too big.
I think the pasta sellers in Bologna have, I think it's like a certain number of hundreds to a certain weight. And that I think is how they get to that navel of Venus thing. But yes, of course, the navel of Venus sounds a lot more poetic.
Yeah.
Now, Lori, are the Italians as passionate about food as you are? I find that hard to imagine. But they're Italian, so of course they are.
every person I spoke to, whether it was the guy selling fruit who made a very specific point, you see these grapes over here, these grapes are only available 2 weeks out of the year. They taste like strawberries, and we wait for these grapes to show up. We celebrate these grapes. If Italians are good at anything, it's, I mean, they've got the locavore thing down to a celebration. It's not a science to them. It's, oh my gosh, it's here, and it's only here for 2 weeks. So we are going to have grand food around this, in some cases, one particular ingredient. Maybe that's why I enjoyed my trip so much, is that nobody looked at me and rolled their eyes when I started banging the table gently when something was really, really good.
All right. Well, just in our last couple minutes here, a reminder, this is the last weekday, the last chance on Central Time to pledge in our fall membership drive. You count on us for great radio, tasty conversations about food, but also politics, philosophy, comedy, everything, really. Now, we count on you to help pay for it. You can pay for it with a contribution of any amount right now at WPR.org or by calling 888-202-2552.
Maybe you've been listening for a while. Maybe you've been listening for a few months and haven't pledged yet. Maybe you've been listening for several years, but something has held you back. Well, why don't you try it? Experiment with supporting Wisconsin Public Radio. See how it makes you feel. Many people report feeling a greater sense of ownership and satisfaction when they listen because they're really part of something. They're really sort of putting their money where their values are. That's one way to put it. Put your money where your listening is another way to put it. Or just do it because it's the right thing to do. But the important thing to do is to choose to do it on this last Friday for Central Time during our fall membership drive. And if you do it now, we will send you a thank you gift of our Food Friday recipes at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
One of those recipes from our guest here, our own Lori Skelton, regular Food Friday contributor. Make a quick pitch for that recipe, Lori, because it's a good one.
I call it single girl pasta. It's garlic and onions and olive oil and butter and fresh thyme or fresh basil, if you will. And if you try it and you notice you get one or more fewer colds this winter, let me know. And that it's not just me, that it actually does work.
Get that recipe and a bunch of other ones with your pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
That's WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Help make a difference in Wisconsin Public Radio. Support the listening that you enjoy and that you count on. We thank you so much for your support at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.